Jim Baker is a famous televangelist, but also a convicted felon. He was a televangelist popular in the 90s, but because of mail fraud, he was sentenced to prison for 45 years. John Brevere tells the story of when he visited Jim Baker in prison, and he says, "Jim, when did you fall out of love with God?" And he looked back at him. He said, "I never fell out of love with God." John Brevere is confused. He said, you cheated on your wife, you took people's money, and you're telling me you didn't fall out in love with God?" And Jim Baker says, "No, I did not fall out of love with God. The problem is I no longer feared God." He says this, "There's millions of Christians in America who love Jesus but don't fear him. And it's the fear of the Lord that perfects holiness in our life." So God used prison to get Jim's attention. In Exodus chapter 3, God uses a bush to get Moses' attention. Moses is on the backside of a desert doing what is called work that none of us would like to do. He's just tending sheep. He's doing mediocre work. He's meandering in the wilderness, and all of a sudden, God gets his attention. Can you imagine Moses? Look at this picture right here. Moses is just tending the sheep. He's doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's what I call mundane ministry, where it's boring, not interesting. And maybe as you begin the new year, this is where you're at right now. Like, life sometimes can be boring, mundane. We go to work, come home, we want to get something to eat, but we're tired, so we just go to Little Caesars and get a hot and ready for the kids. And then we watch Netflix, season 6, Cobra Kai, don't hate. Watch it in one day. You got to start at season 1, everybody. Okay, I had a flashback. It's boring. It's tedious. The same thing every single day. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You feel like you're created for more. But if you're honest today and you look at your life, it's mundane. It's not interesting at times. It can be boring at times. And Moses can understand that for 40 years, this is Moses' life. See, some of you are bored, and that was 10 seconds. For 40 years, this is all Moses had to look for. But God wanted to do something miraculous in the mundane. Can I suggest to you in 2025, God wants to do something miraculous in your life, but in the mundane. Sometimes just reading your Bible, if I can be honest, I'm not supposed to say this, but it can be mundane. Coming to church can be mundane. But God wants to do something miraculous in the mundane. See, there's moments in my life, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I'll read the Word of God, and it's like before I close my Bible, I forgot everything I just read. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like Monday you read it, Tuesday you read it, Wednesday you read it because you want to be a good Christian. And you also want to continue to be able to say, you know what, I'm doing the best as a Christian. I'm reading the Word, but it can be mundane. Even coming to church can be mundane. That if you come here and you get back in your car, one of the questions we got to ask ourselves is it really worth it? But this is what I discovered. God wants to do something miraculous in the mundane. Because this is what I know. On Monday, I might get up and read my Word. Nothing really happens. Tuesday, I read the Word. It's like, okay, I read it. I feel good as a Christian. Wednesday, I read the Word. But then God wants to do something miraculous in the mundane, because just a regular day God will take the mundane and make it miraculous. Because there's been moments where I do the same thing every day, but then it's as if God comes in the room when I'm reading the word, and the word speaks to me, and then I lift my hands in worship, and the praise team isn't there. There are moments in our lives that you will miss the miraculous if you don't master the mundane. What do I mean by that? I mean that there's times you have to develop habits, and God on his own time will see fit to speak to you in a fresh way. Moses for 40 years was on the backside of a desert doing the mundane, but God chose one day to do the miraculous. And can I suggest to some of us in this room, just continue to be faithful. Just continue to do what God has asked you to do, and then he'll show up in a miraculous way. Oftentimes, prayer, we think it's mundane, we think it's boring, but some of us, you're quitting your prayer life, and God wants to do something miraculous. But you have to learn to master the mundane. God wants to do something extraordinary in your ordinary life. He wants to do something extraordinary in your ordinary life. What does that mean? He wants to do something extra in your ordinary life. See, we think we have to do something so amazing to wow God. God is already wowed of you. You are a sitting miracle right now. But you have to learn every day, anticipate that God's gonna do something in the mundane. He's gonna do something extraordinary in your ordinary life. But you have to learn to master the mundane and the ordinary. But there are moments when I'll just wake up in the morning, grab my Bible, and it's as if God literally meets me there in the mundane, and he speaks to me and he gives me a word. This happened last week. I'm just reading the Bible, and it's like the Lord gave me one word for the rest of the year, and that word is going to hold me for the rest of the year. So when challenges and difficulties come in my life, I can go back to that time where God met me in a miraculous way. But God would soon use the mundane to do the miraculous in Moses' life. And I know what you're thinking right now. Some of you are thinking, I never see the miraculous. I never see the extraordinary. Maybe God can't use me. Maybe God doesn't want to use me in that way. I want to remind you that God shows up to Moses, and 40 years Moses is in the wilderness tending the sheep. But 40 years prior, Moses killed somebody. But God still had a plan for Moses. He still used Moses to deliver his people. You cannot out-sin God's calling on your life, which means God will still use you to do miraculous things if we learn how to master the mundane. But if Moses had an attitude and said, you know what, today Jethro, his father-in-law, I'm not going to tend the sheep. I don't feel like it. No, Moses just had to show up. Sometimes your worship isn't lifting your hands in church. Sometimes your worship is just showing up. Sometimes your worship, when you're depressed and you don't feel like coming to church, just show up. You got to develop a habit. They say in order to develop a habit of fitness, sometimes all you have to do is just show up in the gym and say that I'm here and go back home. Why? You're developing a habit. What am I saying? Today, some of you at the beginning of the year, develop a habit of coming to church. No longer make it optional. Make it a culture in your house. If you wake up in the morning and you turn over and look at your wife and ask the question, are we going to church? It's not a culture. You don't wake up and look at your wife and say, am I going to work today? Your kids don't wake up and say, are we going to school today? No, we just wake up, brush our teeth, and go out the door. Why? Because it's a culture, because we've learned on our jobs and in school to master the mundane. And I'm saying in church being around us, we need to learn to master the mundane so God can do the extraordinary in our ordinary lives. And if you want God this year to show up in a fresh way so he reveals himself to you, you got to master, come on, say it with me, the mundane. And why does God want to do that? Why does God want to reveal himself to you this year in a fresh way? I got one point, everybody. This is all I got. Because God grabs your attention so you will tune in and listen. God wants to grab your attention this year so you will tune in and listen. He is trying to get us all on the right frequency. Okay, nobody listens to the radio anymore. Matter of fact, when I got my new truck for 90 days, they gave me a trial of, I don't even know what's the radio station. Siri, y'all know what I'm talking about. They called me on the phone and said, how was it? I didn't even listen to it. Why would I pay something that I can get for free? I don't know how they're still around. Anybody know? Now, this has nothing to do with, how is Family Video still around? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, I pulled up, I just went into the store last month. I just went into the store like I was back at Planet Fitness, like I'm here. Y'all still open? Somebody's anointed in that place, man. You got to tune into the right frequency. What do I mean? If you're not tuned into the right frequency, you can't hear the voice of God. It does not mean, listen to me, when there's static on the radio that the person on the other end is not talking. What means is you're not tuned into the right frequency. And if you cannot distinguish the voice of God, it simply means this: you're not tuned into the right frequency, because God is always talking, but the reason we can't hear him is because we got everything loud in our lives, but got God's presence low in our lives. And I'm saying next week for 21 days of prayer, what are we doing? We're changing the frequency. We're turning God up and everything down, so we can get on the right frequency, so our life isn't static, where you think you hear God, but you don't know if it's God, you don't know if it's your friends, you don't know if it's yourself, because you have too many voices in your ear. So I gotta wake up in the morning and get in the word and pray even before my family wakes up. Why? Because I gotta make sure I'm tuned into the right frequency. I gotta make sure that I hear his voice clear. That's something you should pray every day. That's what I pray. Pastor Ken, what do you pray? God, give me clarity. I just want to be clear. In 2025, I don't need to make 20 moves. Just give me one decision that I can make that you will order my steps. But he does it in the mundane because God wants to grab our attention. So we'll tune in and listen. And one of the ways God grabs our attention is by stripping and taking things away from us. Now, I know you don't like this, but I want to be truthful. God does not cause tragedies, but he does allow tragedies. God will sometimes have your friends no longer talk to you, and you're mad thinking it's your friends. It's really God trying to remove people out your life. But you keep going back to the same people instead of allowing God to do his work. God will remove jobs. God will remove opportunities out your life in order for you to listen when he gets your attention. And as I start to grow up and mature a little bit, when something happens in my life where I don't understand it, sometimes I gotta take a step back and say, God, what are you doing? I gotta tune in to the right frequency because I want to get God's attention so I can listen. And all of a sudden, Moses, he's just looking at this bush. Now, there's nothing miraculous at all about the bush. He sees them all the time. When he's in the wilderness, there's a bush, there's a bush, there's a bush. But he notices something different about this bush, which lets me know that God wants to do something uncommon with the common. See, there's nothing special. You're going to go to your job the next day. You're going to be with your family, maybe eating. You're going to wake up and pray or get in the word or whatever that might be. But perhaps God wants to do something uncommon in the common. And so Moses, he looks at this bush. Then all of a sudden, he notices something about this bush. He notices, wait a minute. Now, there's nothing special about a bush being on fire in the desert. But what's special about this bush is that it's not being consumed, and it gets Moses' attention. Where does God want your attention today in 2025? What burning bush is happening in your life right now to get your attention? What common thing is God using to get your attention? See, we think we have to do something extraordinary. I'm talking about just in the regular rhythms of life, God will get your attention, perhaps on your job, in your relationships, just doing the normal thing. But Moses said, this is different. And Moses starts to go a little bit closer. Because when God gets your attention so you can listen, it's for you to take a step towards him. And so what burning bush is happening in your life right now? When God gets your attention, here it is, it's to give you direction. When God gets your attention, it's to give you direction. Most people want direction without giving God undivided attention. See, we pride ourselves on multitasking. And I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes you got to get it in, right? You didn't read the word, and so you didn't pray, so you pray in the car. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Nothing wrong with praying in the car. But there is something about when God has your undivided attention where I'm not multitasking God. Because you can multitask, but you can't multifocus. Do you have an appointment on your schedule to meet with a holy God? Or is it just you're trying to fit him in as you go through your life? I'm talking about there is something that's uninterrupted that I'm getting before God and saying, God, you have my undivided attention. I'm here. Speak to me. What I learned about prayer is not just talking to God. It's more so listening to God. And the reason some of us don't know God is because we're not still before God. Be still, Isaiah 46, and know that I'm God. That word know right there is intimately. So when I'm still before the Lord saying, God, would you speak to me? This is what's on my mind, but you know the remedy. He already knows what I need before I ask it. Sometimes things aren't prayer. We're just complaining. God, this person's doing this. All right, God, I'll see you later. And he wants to speak to you in the mundane. And God will show up when you're still before him. So next week when we start 21 days of prayer, you should have on your calendar, be still. Just going to be still. And just be in his presence. And let God speak to you. Let him get into your heart. Let him do what only God can do. This message that I'm preaching, it was birthed out of a mundane situation. A few months ago, I'm teaching at the school that I'm at. I'm just teaching a regular lesson, just mundane. Every day from about 8 to 9:30, I teach a Bible class at a school. It's cool. It can be mundane, though. I mean, the first 3 months, I mean, I'm like, man, I'm teaching the Bible. This is great. But you know what? They got used to me. We used to sit down, take your jacket off. Come on, stop. Oh, God, why am I here? I don't need this. The first 3 months, it was no classroom management. Now, you know how it is. As a teacher, you already know the hardest time to teach. I can tell if you're a teacher if you know this. Right after Thanksgiving break and Christmas break,
They act a fool. They don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. Just a mundane day. But I started to talk about general revelation and special revelation. See, general revelation is this idea where God will speak to you using nature. Psalm 19:1 says that you can tell by the skies, they declare of God's glory. In other words, you can walk outside and see the sun, the moon, and the stars. And even if you never heard the name of Jesus, you know there's a God. You know there's an intelligent designer. You know about how the ecosystem is. You know about how your body is, that somebody had to create you. That's general revelation. But general revelation doesn't save you. So when you hear people say, I know there's a God, it doesn't mean they're saved. It just means they know there's a God. There's a difference between general revelation and special revelation. See, general revelation in Romans chapter 1, it talks about the invisible qualities of God. He made it so that no man is without excuse. That's general revelation. But special revelation is when the scriptures are Jesus Christ himself reveals himself to you in a special way. Now, Pastor, how did this mess your class up? Because I said, some of you students at this Christian church, all you know is general revelation. You know there's a God just because your parents told you, or you see something outside, you're like, I know, that, okay, Orion's belt and all those different things. You see the planetarium and the planets in the sky. Oh, I know there's a God. No, but when, here's the question I have for you. When has God revealed himself to you? And the same face that you're making is the same face in that classroom. God started to do the miraculous in the mundane. In that classroom, it's like the Holy Spirit showed up. And God started to reveal himself to students in a fresh way. And what I'm telling you today, God wants to reveal himself to you in a fresh way. And the problem with some of us in this room, you're trying to get every single answer. You're trying to figure out everything. How did Adam have a belly button? And all these different... Because if I know the answer to that, then maybe he can have me. But let me help you out. You will only know what God chooses to reveal about himself. So in other words, you can read every book. You can go to every philosopher. If God does not reveal it, you won't know it. We are limited in our understanding of who God is. Because if God showed you everything about him, you and I, we'd be in an insane asylum right now. We wouldn't be able to handle it. There are moments, even when I'm studying the Word of God, I start to get a headache. It's too much. The question we have to ask ourselves today, is he trustworthy? And if he's trustworthy, then I don't have to know all the answers. Because if God gave me the answer, I wouldn't even be able to handle it. That's why when Moses, in a point in time, says, I want to see your glory, all he was able to see was his hind parts, because if he would have saw everything, it would have been too much for him. We can't handle all of God's glory and his holiness. All we're doing on earth is getting glimpses and flashes of his holiness. Because we couldn't handle it. But God wants to get our attention, so we'll tune in and listen. When has God revealed himself to you? When's the last time that just on an ordinary day, God did something extraordinary in your life? When is the last time, whether you were just reading the Word or through a conversation, it's like God stepped in, and you know he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, but no, he was with me at that time. And I want to submit to you that can happen more often than you think if you allow God to get your attention. That you would slow down, and when stuff happens in your life, you just simply say, God, you have my attention. So I'll tune in and listen. And so Moses, he sees this bush, but it's not being consumed. And Moses starts to go closer. Because when God reveals himself, it's always for us to get closer to him. And so Moses starts to get closer to God. And then all of a sudden, God speaks up. Moses, Moses. That's probably the first time he heard his name. Moses, Moses. What if he called your name like that? Hey, Ed, Ed. Cornelius, Cornelius. Oh, there's two Eds. Eds, and both of y'all got the same name. And this, yeah. I know he's confused. He's like, man, is he cross-eyed? Like, Ed. What happens when he calls your name? What do? If you're like me, sometimes we ignore it. Or sometimes we call someone on three-way and put God on hold. Or we're too busy to hear from God. Moses, Moses, we need to respond this year like Moses did. Moses, Moses, here I am. I don't have enough money, but here I am. I don't know enough word, but here I am. All the mistakes that I've made in my life, but here I am. God just wants your availability. That's all he wants. Just here I am. This year, what if you said, you know what? I'm making a commitment, God. Here I am. Expectation with no agenda. Whatever you want to do in my life this year, here I am. Here I am. That's a dangerous prayer to pray. You know, a dangerous prayer to pray is, Lord, have your way. But we don't like that. We don't pray that prayer. We come to God, God, this is what you need to do. We tell God what to do. We think God is a bellhop. We already have our agenda. You already wrote down your goals in 2025. You said, all right, let's pray. Let's lay hands on it. What? No, you don't start off like that. What you do is you come with an empty page. I don't know. See, some of us in this room, you don't want to admit you don't know. That's a great place to start with God. I don't know. But God, you know. So I'm going to be still before you because you have my attention. I'm ready to listen. Speak to me. Here I am. Whatever you want to do, you can move that over my calendar. You can move that over. Three people know what I'm talking about. Jonathan McReynolds. Can I be on the choir team? Probably not. Amen. God, why y'all laughing? God grabs your attention so you'll tune in and listen. Moses, Moses. Here I am. So Moses is excited, right? Like when God tells you something, you get excited about it. Moses already comes closer. Now, this is a trip because Moses, God reveals to Moses who he is. Verse 2, it says an angel of the Lord. Verse 5, it says the Lord. This is what we call a theophany in Scripture. This is where God manifests himself in a way for your senses to understand. And so he starts to approach God. He comes closer. And then God says, Moses, Moses. He says, here I am. And then Moses is like running up to this bush. And it's like God says, wait a minute, bro. Stop. This is holy ground. wait a minute. Moses comes closer to God, and it's like God gives him the Heisman. Do you want me to come closer or not? See, when you come to God, you don't come on your own terms. This is holy ground. Take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. What God was demonstrating, there's a gap between holiness, perfection, and sinfulness. Take your shoes off. I'm going to let you know about this new culture. Now, here's the thing. You come to my house. I remember a couple years ago, there was a person I didn't know, but he was coming over with a friend of the family. And he said, hey, man, does he mind if I bring some, no judgments, I'm just telling you what happened. If I bring a bottle over, I don't even know this guy. Can I bring some liquor over? Now, I'm not judging anyone. You can do what you want to do at your house. But my house is holy ground. You have to abide by the rules of my house. You can do what you want to do. I'm not judging. So no, you can't. There's certain things you can do in your house, and I'm okay with it, but you can't do in my house because my house is set apart. It is holy according to the standards that I have. However, God is a God of holiness. And for the next year, God's going to reveal himself to us in a fresh way. Because we thank God for his grace. We thank God for his mercy. We thank God when he snatches us out of our dysfunction. But he's still a holy God. And if you understand that he's holy, there are some things you will no longer do just because you know that he's holy. God, thank you for grace. It's a holy grace. God, thank you for love. It's a holy love. And sometimes we treat God like it's a monopoly, a get out of jail free card. I'll never forget. I'm going to keep on saying it every year when this dude in this church said, Pastor, I ain't even going to lie to you. I got sin on the calendar, man. I already know the exact date I'm going to sin. I was like, thank you for being truthful. But he didn't understand that God is holy. Take your shoes off. All through the Old Testament, when people are approaching God, they had to take their shoes off. There's only one time in Scripture. John chapter 1, when John says, there's one that's coming. Come here, Ken. That I'm not even worthy enough to untie his sandals because Jesus was holy and didn't have to take his shoes off. But it's a reminder to us that when we come to God, he's a God of holiness. What made the ground holy? The ground wasn't holy until God showed up. Then it became holy. Okay. There's nothing special about this pulpit. It's not holy. There's nothing special about this building. It's not holy. There's nothing special about my house. It's not holy. But when God shows up, it becomes holy. Now, I want you to think about this, because some of you in this room, there's certain things you wouldn't watch, do, or there's certain things you just, activities you wouldn't participate in because you would never do something in the sanctuary. You would never do certain things in the temple because you say you reverence God. In the New Testament, we are the temple of God. We are the place where we house the Holy Spirit. But yet here, I ain't gonna say that word. I ain't gonna do this. I ain't gonna do that. God lives with you. He dwells with you. He tabernacles with you. But every single day, we don't act as if he is not holy. God, I need forgiveness. I'm holy. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He doesn't leave or forsake us. I remember when I was younger, I was like, when you do your dirt, it's like the Holy Spirit leaves. No, no, he doesn't leave. He's there the whole time, but he's grieved. He's grieved. And the last couple months, the Lord's been showing me certain things in my life. Ken, why are you entertained with sinfulness? I'm grieved. And that's why we don't understand or have the right frequency. He's in the sunken place, the Holy Spirit. Grieved. Some of us in this room, when is the last time you were grieved over your sin instead of celebrating that God got you out? Thank you, Jesus, for getting me out. You should. But were you grieved over your sin? That you sinned against the holy God? God's trying to get our attention this year. And when God grabs our attention, it's so we can tune in and listen. God is holy, which means he is separate, set apart, perfect. He is otherness. That's why in Exodus chapter 20, he says, I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. Do not put other gods before me. I'm otherness. God, why are you like that? I'm otherness. I'm set apart. Yes, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Yes, God is omniscient. He knows all things. Yes, God is omnipotent. He's all powerful, but he's holy. He's holy. And all through scripture, when you see people, when God reveals himself to them, what do? It says that they fear him. Now, what does that mean? They honor and reverence him. See, some of you know you have parents like that. You love your parents, but there's certain things you're not going to do in front of your parents because you fear them. Out of honor and respect. For me, this happened several months ago. We had someone in our church was trying to be in a particular position in our church, and there was something going on in their life that, let me just be honest with you, it was sinful. And we tried to disciple that person. And I was so convicted when they said, I thought this was a come as you are church. Number one, I've never said that, but listen to me. You can come as you are, but you won't stay as you are. So it was like right after that, if you notice, right after that, I started wearing suits. I changed my whole wardrobe, bro. I started wearing suits up in here, wasn't talking to nobody. I'm like, is something wrong? I wasn't mad at them. Something wrong with me? Because that person felt, for whatever reason, that meant compromise. Listen to me loud and clear. Don't get it twisted. Maybe it's the lights, it's the screen, all that stuff. This is a church of holiness. We revere God's word. And I'm going to live holy as best as I can. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my kids. But that convicted me. I had to look at myself and say, is there something that we're doing that's causing someone new to come in and say, well, that ain't a big deal. Just let me slide in. I'm not talking about perfection, because if I'm talking about perfection, I can't be here. But we should strive to live a life of holiness, otherness. So in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, Moses says this. He says, who is like you among the gods, O Lord, glorious in holiness? He says, God is holy. We have to revere God. So much so in the Old Testament, when the priest would step into the holies of holies and perform their priestly duties, they walked backwards. Because they felt turning their back on God would be disrespect. Matter of fact, there's some Jewish cultures that won't even say his name. When they read the word and it comes to Yahweh, they say Adonai. They don't even write the name down. They say G-D. Because they don't want to take his name in vain. And some of us, we take his name in vain. We think just saying, God, you know what, is his name in vain. No, it's saying things so cavalier on God. Making promises to God that you don't even intend to keep. That's taking his name in vain. And we just say it so flippantly because we don't know who he is. He's holy. I already knew I wasn't going to get no amens and shouts. I'm good for the next year. I preach towards an audience of one, because one day I'm going to see him. And he's going to ask me. He's going to ask me. Let them know about my holiness. I'm holy. I was reading this morning, 2 Chronicles 15, 14, or 5, 14. And it said that the priest couldn't even minister. Couldn't even minister. Because the house was full with his glory. In other words, they didn't even need a sermon. And there was one time in our church, we just walked off the stage because God was in the place. We saw God doing what man can't. And can you imagine? That's what I seek. That's what I want. Where we come here to a service and we're just in awe of God, where we don't even need anyone to minister because the Holy Spirit's doing his work. Wouldn't that be an awesome day? But the problem is you need to read in context, because you cannot get to verse 14 if you don't go to verse 13. Because verse 13 says this. It says, when everyone was worshiping God with one voice. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes when they were on one accord. Jesus' prayer before he left in John 17 was that they would be one. But can I be honest with you today? If we want to see God do some amazing things in our life, we have to be on one accord. It needs to be one voice. And I'm saying this lovingly as your pastor. I know some of you time when the preaching starts and when the worship ends. But you still want to see God's glory. You won't, because he's holy. What would it look like if we all got on the same page, all started to seek him? God's glory would fill this place like never before. That's why the enemy attacks your marriage, attacks your kids, attacks everything. Why? Because he doesn't want you to see his glory. He doesn't want you to see it. So he brings division in every area of your life. That's what the enemy does. Moses sees God's glory. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know what Moses does? He doesn't pull out his cell phone, if he had one, and get on Instagram. Hey, look at me. Look at this bush. Because there's times I've been in a worship space and I have my camera out just to let them know I'm here. And God's like, what? All you see is people. We don't even worship God anymore. It's just cameras out. Hey, I'm here. I'm at the concert. Because we'd rather let people know where we're at, because we care more about that than seeing his glory. It says, he reveals himself, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it says that Moses got afraid and hid himself. say, Jesus, we're going to drown. They wake Jesus up. Peace be still. We know that part of the story. But keep on reading. They got afraid because even the waves obey him. Why are they afraid? Because he's otherness. They haven't seen anyone like this before. And when God gets your attention, it's so you can tune in and listen. When I mean afraid, I'm talking about reverence and honoring God to the point where you say, here I am. And Moses sees God in a fresh way. He goes to Pharaoh, says, let my people go. But Moses does not enter the promised land. You want to know why? Moses does not enter the promised land. We know the story because he was supposed to speak to the rock. But he smites the rock. But I was reading this week, team's coming. As you start to read scripture, Moses now is telling the children of Israel about going into the promised land. And he starts telling the story about himself and Aaron. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 51, for both of you broke faith with me among the Israelites at the waters in the wilderness of Zin. This is why you didn't make it in. Because you didn't treat me as holy. Wait a minute. I thought it was because he hit the rock. Yeah, in God's mind, that was you didn't treat me as holy. And so because you didn't treat me as holy, I'm going to let you see the promised land, but you're not going to be able to walk into the promised land. Maybe there's some things in our life right now that we're seeing, but you haven't entered into yet because we don't revere him as holy. We don't revere him as holy. And as your pastor, listen to me, there's a deeper surrender God has taken me on. Because he's reminding me, Ken, I'm holy. I'm holy. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, what does this mean for me? Listen, God is revealing himself right now. That's my prayer to you right now about specific areas. And I know it can be painful where you're not treating him as holy. And today you have an opportunity right now to repent and to give it to God so you can walk into places that God has for you. We're going to pray in a moment and we're getting ready to take communion as a church. And I think it's an awesome time to take communion, a moment of reflection. We want to create space for a few moments. Perhaps you need to come to the altar and just be in his presence, or maybe on your seat. Maybe some of you need to kneel down right now and I've had that moment before the Lord where I just literally had to repent of certain things that I wouldn't call sin, but he's a holy God. It is sin. So I want to invite you in a moment. I'm going to give you some instructions in a moment on how to take communion. I want you to grab that communion and just spend a moment before the Lord and ask him to reveal himself to you. The bread simply represents Jesus' body. The cup represents the blood of Jesus, which symbolizes a new covenant. We take communion because there's forgiveness available for those who believe. If you're here today, before you move, I know everybody's moving, just listen to me. If you don't know Jesus today, that's the first invitation I want to give you, that you would know Jesus. But if you know Jesus, here's an opportunity to take communion and to get before the Lord and to have him speak with you. And maybe it's this, God, would you just speak to me? Reveal yourself to me. God, where are some areas in my life I'm not treating you as holy? my relationships, the things that I do, the places I go. God, would you reveal that to me? I repent for that right now. Maybe if you have aught with someone, this might be an opportunity for you to get that right. We're getting ready to worship, and maybe you want to sit down, or maybe you want to stand up and worship God. We're going to create space for the next few moments for you to have an encounter with God. Let's do that right now. You can take communion after you reflect.